Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Nick Castoro, Products and Education Editor of The News. Today, we're sitting down with Doug Reinke, CEO of Blue On Energy. Doug's going to discuss the new TDX-20 refrigerant that Blue On offers, R22 refrigerant phase down and eventual phase out, and just how contractors are being affected by it and what's on the horizon for refrigerants overall. Let's get to it. So Doug, Blue On Energy is currently focusing on the TDX-20 refrigerant. What exactly is that product and what are its benefits?
Well, it started a little bit over 6 years ago. We set out to develop an R22 replacement that was a little bit unique to the industry. First thing we wanted to do is be able to reduce the energy consumption, and as well as reduce the pressures and the compressor head temperatures on the system so we could help extend the life. We wanted to do all that in the current infrastructure. So basically, we've come up with a different path than they've done in the industry. The industry is kind of set out on this modeling path where they just model all this data and this information. And, you know, when you do that, you can miss some phenomena that might happen when you're out there actually doing field testing. For example, there might have been some formulas we put together that looked good on paper, but once we went out and did some testing, they didn't perform as well. Whereas others didn't quite look as good, and we got some really, really good performance out of it, because obviously sometimes the sum is more than the sum of its parts. So what we've done is we've utilized 5 EPA-approved HFCs, and we saw an interesting phenomenon as we started to go through those. We saw that if we could sequentially boil the different refrigerants at different boiling points throughout that coil, we could extract more heat across more of that coil surface. So we could extract all that heat at a lower pressure. When we do that, the compressor worked less, mm-hmm. right? So it's just more efficient. And so we started to go down that path of finding that right combination of those 5 constituents. And after about 100 iterations, 100 plus, extensive testing in the field, we've had some great partners, some good connections within the commercial world that let us get up on roofs and test this thing. And we found and settled in about 3.5 years ago with TDX-20, the product that we have today. And what we saw with that is that we were getting a 5 to 25% even more energy savings at it at less pressures and at light capacity. So we didn't lose that ability to cool that same space, you know, with that same energy. At that point, we went for our EPA. Approval, and we got authorization back in May of 2015 for HVAC. We're still waiting on the refrigerant side. It was put in at the same time, and we do extremely, extremely well in cold storage applications that have R22, 404, and 507. But we're expecting that, and you know, we're working with the EPA to get that done too. Mm-hmm. But we've been in hundreds of systems for over 3 years now. We're cooling, you know, millions of square feet with the likes of CBRE, Equity Office, Kaiser. We're working with utility companies for rebates, and we have a lot of mechanicals that are picking up TDX-20 to sell to their client base.
Yeah, and so you mentioned, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You mentioned getting into the HVAC side, I think you said May of last year. What are you hearing from contractors in regards to the phase down and the eventual phase out of R22? How is it affecting them?
Well, there's definitely some confusion out there. I mean, they all understand the phase down and the phase out of R22. They don't quite know the numbers and the percentage and how low we really, really are in comparison to when it started in 2013. Mm-hmm. But when you look, you know, we are way down to about 9% of that now, coming up on 16. And they are starting to see, you know, R22 prices rise. I mean, it's risen dramatically this year alone. And with that, they're starting to look at more alternatives, and they're being asked to look at more alternatives by their landlords and the building owners, because they also are starting to hear more about this phase out. And obviously jumping to a brand new system versus taking care of their current system and mitigating that risk of those rising costs is what they're focused on. So while it's a little confusing out there, they are starting to really dig into it because they're seeing the prices rise and they're hearing it from their customer base.
Well, and so, Doug, why does it make sense to use TDX-20 with current equipment rather than try to replace equipment altogether?
when you look at, you know, changing over just the refrigerant, number one, that's a quick and easy process versus completely changing out a whole. Number two, the cost. I mean, when we're looking at 25 cents to change out TDX, put in TDX 20 versus, you know, $7 to $10 per square foot to put in a new HVAC system, I mean, that's pretty appealing to the landlords and the business owners. Mm-hmm. In addition, they're putting in 410A systems, which, as we see with the confusion out there with the regulations, 410A is on a target list also. So to put in a system like 410A and in 5, 10, 15 years being told that it needs to be out of there would be very difficult for an investment that they're hoping is going to last 20, 25, 30 plus years.
And so do you find most contractors are aware of R22 refrigerant replacement options in general, or is this something you're really having to work to bring to their attention?
Well, I think we have to work hard because they know about those placements that are out there. Mm-hmm. They've tried MO99 or NU22 or 407C and just haven't been happy with the results. I mean, you know, for example, 407C, you know, you have to change out the oil in the system, which is cost prohibitive to do. And it also leads to potential problems with, you know, drying out gaskets and leaks and things like that. The MO99s and the NU22s, you know, they lose efficiency. So they can lose 5, 20, 25% of energy efficiency on it. And they also lose capacity. So they can't even cool the same space with that same system as well. So we've had to educate them that there is another refrigerant out there, a replacement for R22, that does the opposite. We actually increase efficiency at the same capacity. Plus, we have the lowest GWP, mm-hmm. So it's good for the environment too.
And so how about payback time and return on investment? Is that something most customers grasp the concept of right away, or is there any kind of pushback to that?
When you look at refrigeration and heating and air conditioning, you know, that's almost 40 to 50%, sometimes 60%, depending on your climate, of your electricity bill. So if we can make a difference on that side of your electricity bill, mm-hmm. the payback is short. So if you have your own installers or your own crew, you know, you can have paybacks of 6 months. And it could be up to just under 3 years where you see that payback in ROI. And believe me, building owners and landlords and mechanicals definitely understand that and see that advantage. It also affects the peak load, right? AC units, mm-hmm. things are working during that peak time. So, you know, that's a cost we can't really look at and quantify, but, you know, we are reducing that peak load time.
And so you mentioned installation. What does the installation process of TDX 20 actually consist of? Is it something contractors and techs are going to need specific training for?
No, it's standard refrigeration installation procedures. The mechanicals definitely know how to do this piece. It's the basics of, you know, recovering the R22 efficiently and in EPA guidelines, replacing the filter dryer, place the system under a vacuum, you charge the system to 80%. And if you have a TXV or adjustable metering device, you would adjust it to the subcool and then adjust the TXV down to fine-tune the superheat. Mm-hmm. If you have a fixed metering device, you do the 80% and then adjust it to the superheat and then let the system equalize and then readjust so you can fine tune it. I think the key here is that, you know, they will see a little bit different pressures. As I said, we run at lower pressures than R22 by 10 to 12%. So they just need to take a look at that. And we have tools online with superheat subcool calculators, inflation instructions, a video. So we make it very, very easy for the installers.
And Doug, you'd also mentioned or touched on a little bit ago potential regulation coming down on R410A. So do you see further regulations facing refrigerants in the near future?
There's always conversations on refrigerants. And, you know, there's been refrigerants that have been delisted this year, you know, coming up here in a few years that, you know, we don't even have really a solution for, you know, those landlords and customers. So we're heavily involved in the EPA, the ARB, and other agencies. You know, we're all in it to help protect the planet and, you know, help extend the life and be, you know, fiscally conservative for our clients. But we need to look at all the variables and we got to take them all into account. The one thing that we've seen is a lot of it has been around GWP, constantly coming up. But really, you have to look at if that system has a, or that refrigerant has a low GWP, but it's less efficient, what are you really solving here? Mm-hmm. You're just going to burn more electricity, which is going to be CO2. So that will have a negative effect on the environment. You top that off with the new HFOs, HFC blends that are being touted out there. Many are flammable. I mean, I don't know how many people really want to put flammable, you know, refrigerant up on the roofs of many of their, you know, office buildings or tenant buildings,
right,
or things like that. You know, with R22 and 410A going into systems still now, and they're going to be in systems for another 20 to 30 years, we need some solutions now until we really do come up with that next best refrigerant. And we got to take GWP, energy efficiency, light capacity, and the flammability issues into account with when we're setting all these regulations. So that's why we're pretty proud of R22. We have the lowest GWP of any replacement out there for R22. And we're going to have less CO2 due to the energy efficiency that we gain. So it's really a win for the customer, but also a win for the environment.
You'd mentioned at the top of the podcast the development of TDX20, and I'd read that it actually took 6 years to develop the product. Is the company working on upgrades and improvements to the product? Is that something that's constantly ongoing? And as you develop these things, are you garnering feedback from contractors and customers on exactly how it's working for them as they implement it?
Yeah, I mean, our TDX20, you know, performs very, very well in the R22 systems, 404, 507 systems also. And, you know, we're pretty much set on that piece, but we're always looking for new and better ways to develop refrigerants. And we're looking at new opportunities and new refrigerants to build. So we definitely take into account, as I said in the beginning, we do a lot of testing. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of data logging. I mean, we have tens of millions of lines of data, you know, that we even share on our website. You can go on and take a look at our data. We're not trying to hide anything. We're pretty transparent that way. But, you know, we're always working with our clients and our mechanical contractors to try and fulfill the needs that they see out there. So that's a long-term solution, not some short-term solution.
And Doug, so what's on the horizon for Bluon Energy? What can we expect to hear from the company over the next year or two?
Well, I mean, one nice thing, we just passed ASHRAE for our number, which is an extensive evaluation, toxicity, flammability, and other pieces. We've received our preliminary R number. So for the first time, I'm announcing that will be R458A. In June, we expect the final approval for them. So that's been a great, great step for us. We're looking and we're working with major large organizations on portfolio rollouts that are looking for sustainability and energy efficiency measures that they can take across their whole portfolio versus doing it here and there when they're doing repairs and things. So I think there'll be some news out there from some of our partners on that. We will be entering the refrigeration world. We're really working hard with the EPA to be able to get that authorization to do that. We work really, really well in those systems, sometimes even better, in that they have that large coil that we can extract more heat from. We just perform super, super good in the refrigeration side. And you never know, you might be hearing about a new product before soon that we've been working on.
Well, if people want to learn more about the company as it stands and TDX20, where can they turn?
Well, we launched a new website here a little over a month ago. We're really proud of it. We have a lot of information that's very easy to dissect through. So I definitely suggest everybody goes to bluonenergy.com. You'll see, as I said, we have evaluations, we have testimonial letters, we have the data behind those evaluations, so you can look at how we derive those summary reports. We have clients that are listed on there, how it works, as I just talked about. So I would definitely suggest you go there. You can call us here at 855-425-8686. We'll be happy to discuss it with you, or send an email to info@bluonenergy.com.
Doug, we appreciate the insight. Thanks for stopping by the Newsmakers Podcast.
All right. Thank you very much, Troy. We appreciate the time.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Doug and learned a bit more about Bluon Energy, R22 refrigerant phase down, and the TDX20 refrigerant that Bluon offers. Thank you for listening, and we encourage you to join us for the remainder of our Newsmaker series at achrnews.com or for free on iTunes. For more information, visit www.achrnews.com.